From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Touchdown, Dirty Dan Thornton!
I should have known you'd do that. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, your victory, Locked On Chiefs, over the Denver Broncos. We have a great show for you coming up. Matt is going to join us from the post game, but first, this season is going to be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that helps Pepsi get fueled. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. Matt Derrick is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. We have plenty to go over because this was quite a bit of a strange, to put it that way. I'm Ryan Tracy, your host at RGR Football and the founder of Rogue Analytics.
And I'm Chris Clark, and that game was quite a shellacking.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, man. I didn't see that coming, did you?
I sure did not see that coming. All right, so let's jump into this game. 43-16, Kansas City wins. I did not see the game ending up the way it was. I didn't see them getting a defensive score. I didn't see them getting a return, especially from Byron Pringle, not Mecole Hardman.
Right. I was intrigued by that too. And you know, like I put some things up on social media pregame. It was a little bit warmer. It was less in the city, but it was 7 degrees. And it was a little about 10, 11 at my place. But this is a tough kind of weather to play it in. Not only the interceptions, but that return, you got to have your footing to put your foot in the ground and take off like Pringle did. I was really impressed with that return.
I was impressed with the speed. I didn't know he had the speed that he had on that play. So that really impressed me. And I could have gone with touchdown Chad Henne for the intro, but I don't really feel like that one really made that much of a difference. You know, you look at this game and you look at 43-16 Kansas City coming out, 27-point win. Can't really argue with anything. Patrick Mahomes, honestly, I don't think played his best game. I think that he missed a couple of throws, and but then he also had some people that dropped the ball on him a couple of times as well.
Patrick Mahomes played the game? I wasn't aware. I mean, yeah. Luckily they didn't need it, but you're right. He had a couple letdowns. He had a couple of things that we'll talk about with Matt about setup, some pre-snap things that I am a little bit concerned about, just honestly for his health. That's my number one concern, but got a lot of team effort. And I think that's really the big takeaway is that this was a team win. It wasn't about Patrick having to overcome a deficit or lead a comeback or try to, you know, really adapt to something strange that was thrown at him. The defense took care of its business. The special teams took care of theirs for the most part. I'm a little worried about Butker, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you have to wonder about Butker with as many extra points as he's missed. I think it's gotten to his head at this point, so that's definitely something they've got to get figured out. He's still 10 for 11 on field goals, so he's got it. He's got that dialed in. I'm not sure what the extra point deal is. I did think it was interesting that they moved where they were kicking the ball from. I think that's probably a little bit different than it had been. I remember them being, I think, middle of the field against the Bills. Or maybe it was the Raiders that they were middle of the field, but I know that the extra points were in different places in the previous two games. So got to wonder if they're going to address that again. You know, he hit it off the top of the upright at the very end of the game. I mean, it's really hard place to miss. But they did get out of this game with no injuries, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it definitely is. And this is it's the 10th in the row over Denver. It doesn't really matter how you get them, as long as you get them and Patrick doesn't get hurt. That's really the long-term thing. And that's what we got post-game, a little bit of information, zero injuries. They obviously had some missing in Mitch Schwartz not traveling and Okafor going on IR. But to get out of this game in the snow with no additional injuries, I think is really key.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting in the snow is, I think, the big thing. And you look at the field that they had in Denver, I was very impressed with the way that field worked out. And I think Kansas City has kind of a similar system where they're not going to have a bunch of snow and buildup. So I think that really helps. But to have no injuries in that game, I think that's a great sign for Kansas City moving forward. And I think that they're going to be getting healthier. You know, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not they actually have some of these players that were missing today play against those Jets that are huge underdogs right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a roll forward. And quite frankly, if anybody has, you know, a hangnail or, you know, ingrown hair, just take the week off. I think it's going to be okay. The Jets put up a fight today, but I don't think that's the way that we have to look at it going forward. So On the backside of this, we'll get in with Matt Derrick. We'll get his take just in case we miss something. And hopefully he sees it the way we do. So we'll get there in just a minute. Thanks for the lack of natural athleticism or commitment or just overbearing sports parents. Less than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the league, they've joined others. The League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is there to get you through game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game, any day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. It's another win for these Chiefs. Not exactly a typical one, and so we have to get the lowdown from Matt Derrick. Matt, how are you? And did you see this coming in any way, shape, or form?
Hey, I'm never going to rule out a 43-16 Chiefs win. But if you're going to sell me on a team scoring 43 points while going 0-7 on third down with 287 yards of offense, I'm going to say no. That's no, you can't sell that to me.
Yeah, that's a long shot, right?
This is a weird one. This is a weird game. But you know what? Chiefs, they want it, so you'll take it.
And how about a return TD by somebody not named Mecole Hardman?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about it last week. I mean, you know, giving Pringle maybe a few more chances because Hardman hadn't been breaking the big ones. And hey, Pringle gets his opportunity. He hits the hole and makes the most of it.
I was really impressed with that. And I think it coincided, I think, with really what we saw early was a concentration on getting McColl involved in the offense. And by taking that off of his shoulders later, maybe they can keep that going and try to give him a little bit more chunks. I thought it was effective and I thought he responded well. What did you see, Matt?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I mean, there's certainly with the run and the throw early, they certainly seem to be trying to get him into a little bit of a rhythm. I mean, nothing came of it. I mean, he finished with just those three touches, I believe. But you know what? I mean, you got to get it going somewhere. And I think they definitely tried to make that an emphasis. And the way this game played out probably affected it a little bit about how it played out after that. But, you know, and the Chiefs have not lost any confidence in Mecole Hardman. I mean, to a degree, I think that, you know, his lack of production is, it's really reflective of just how teams have been playing the Chiefs, what they've been taking away, and you know, just kind of a reflective of how the offense is moving the football overall.
I agree. It's a number of things that I think coincide trying to lengthen what you can do when you have so many shortcomings or things that are being done against you that you have to compensate for. And so another thing that they did, obviously added Lev Bell today. I thought he ran pretty good. We know he missed a couple of things in the past game, but what's your takeaway on his presence?
Yeah, and that's to be expected. I mean, you know, the passing game is going to be the last thing that comes. And, you know, certainly they felt comfortable enough for him being out there. But, you know, the timing and just, you know, knowing how quickly he's going to be able to turn around, that Mahomes is going to be ready to get the ball to him, that's going to come with time. But in the run game, yeah, I mean, yeah, there looks like there's juice there. Absolutely. I mean, you see it. So I think that, you know, you got to be very encouraged by what you saw in the run game. What, 6 carries, 39 yards. That's efficient. That's effective. And I think it was more importantly just, you know, how you saw that coming about. He had a couple of big runs. Yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more consistency. But the fact that he's got those yardage in the tank, you're encouraged by that.
I definitely was. 2 16-plus yard runs since what, 18 when he left the Steelers? It's the first two.
Yeah, I think I thought he had one with the Jets maybe, but yeah, I mean, he was more productive today in those 6 carries than he was at any point with the Jets in the last 2 years.
Well, I thought it looked really good. I really enjoyed the burst that I saw coming from him. You said it earlier, Matt, and I agree with you and Ryan, you as well. The first sack I thought on Mahomes, and I think that's more on Lev Bell, looked like Mahomes is ready to dump the ball off, but he saw that Bell wasn't turned around. So, you know, they'll get that cleaned up and they'll get that fixed for next week.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, on the other sacks that they had today and a couple of even the hits that Mahomes took, that there were some miscommunications in the pass protection. And that can stem, I mean, hey, you know what? That starts at the center. I mean, you know, so you got Daniel Kilgore, who's new in there, who's making those calls. You've got changes at, you know, two other positions. So 3 positions total on that offensive line. And then you're even working on some new guys. I mean, Kaiser, it looked like was, you know, had an issue with the protection at 1.2. You're getting a lot of new faces in there, guys who have not played together before. And that's just going to happen. So I don't, unless you continue to see that, I think that's just, you know, to a degree, it's just, you know, some of the communication errors that you're going to see when new guys are playing together.
Now, I saw Jeff Schwartz's reaction and his explanation of that first one where Bell wasn't looking. And I got people in my mentions telling me that I'm wrong, that that's not on Mahomes. And maybe that's actually true in that particular play. I don't care because it gave me the willies. After being in the stadium a year ago when he did that sneak and did not get up, I have to say, I don't really care whose responsibility it was. Check out of that play. Bradley Chubb should not be the only guy that goes unblocked on that Broncos offensive or defensive front.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one, it's on the quarterback to be able to identify that blitz. And if he can't account for it, you're right. I mean, you're probably better off checking out of that play. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, Mahomes, if he's not going to check out of it and he can see that Chubb is coming and he also sees that Bell's not there, he's just got to throw the ball at his feet. He can't hold on to it. He's just got to eat the play, get rid of it. Instead, you know, he does what Mahomes does, which is, you know, tries to keep his eyes downfield and see if there's something else to develop. But you can't do that. I mean, it's a split second decision, but you've either got to throw it to Bell or throw it to his feet.
What I will say is I wouldn't want to check out of that play because based on what I saw from Jeff Schwartz, this video, Lev Bell had a walk-in TD if he gets his head turned around. He wasn't going to be covered by anybody. Mahomes was going to be throwing right at the blitz. I think that's something that will get taken care of. When you talk about Kaiser and what he did today, he did struggle. I mean, the fumble really hurt Kansas City, I thought, early on. I thought that that was going to change the way the game ended up. But obviously, with the way the score ended up, it really didn't end up mattering too much.
Yeah, and, you know, the fumble, you got to feel bad for Kaiser because that's just, you know, a play was that Harris that came up with it? Give it the defender the play because he made a great move on that ball, just like later on with the fumble that Turk Wharton caused. I don't put that on the ball carrier. I mean, you got to give the defender the fact that they make a play every once in a while. It was a good move. You know, Kaiser had the ball relatively well protected. I mean, yeah, he could have put two hands on there at the end because he is a tight end and he's a guy that doesn't carry the ball too much. So, you know, he should maybe have a little bit more ball security on a day like this. And like I said, on the protection, I need to see more. You know, I don't know how much of it was completely his fault, but I know that we saw a lot of protection issues today. I thought that certainly looked like they were communication errors and not, you know, necessarily fundamental errors.
On the whole, though, this revamped offensive line group, I think, held up fairly well. I know Shelby Harris had a play or two. We expected that. You know, as far as grading out the offensive line as a unit, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it collectively, you know, without focusing on the individual side of it, I mean, I think there's got to be at least a little bit of concern that it was a step back from last week, because last week you came out of the Buffalo Bills game and you're raving about how well this offensive line played. I'm not doing that today. I mean, you know, maybe you can certainly say that it was, you know, hey, it was they won 43-16. So there's not a lot of criticism to go around. But, you know, 5.5 yards a play, that's, you know, a little bit on the offensive line. You had some hits on your quarterback. Yeah, some of that's going to be on the offensive line. They did have some big runs, but I mean, the big runs for the most part, they're probably more on the running back and the field conditions. Because Edwards-Helaire and Bell both got yards after the touches, and they were both, you know, I mean, those were good runs. I mean, you know, those were the guys making plays. It wasn't because they just had huge holes or anything, and it was also because they were slippery in the snow. So some of it is with these conditions, give everybody a pass. You know, I mean, you don't know how to grade it in a game like this with the weather like it was. But I'm not coming out of this game raving about the offensive line the way that we did Monday night against Buffalo.
I think that's fair. You know, there are some positives. Obviously, there's some negatives, too. But I think it all goes towards what's going to go on next week. They get another week to look at. And when we get on the backside of this one, I want to get into some of the more smaller details.
Built Bar is back along with Built Go and has some great new things for you to try. Some of them are flavors. Some of them are new mixtures, new concepts in what Built does. So check out Built Bar, Built Go, and the whole nine yards. My personal favorite still remains that caramel brownie, and I like that coconut one as well.
Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Now, clearly, any game where you can get multiple turnovers, it ups your philosophical chances of winning this game. Dan Sorensen comes up one. Obviously, you talked about Turk Ward, the crazy thing that happened with Frank Clark. I mean, there were so many of these. Good for them, but I think the conditions played more of a role than it really looked like. I thought that they did a good job cleaning the field and trying to keeping it look nice, but it was nastier out there than it appeared to me.
Yeah, it certainly seemed to. And, you know, and other than the Sorensen, you know, fumble or the interception where he made a great read, it was a perfect play. I mean, from the beginning to end, Hitchens had the blitz. So, you know, he got lock under pressure where he had to get rid of the ball quickly. Sorensen saw where the ball was going to go, made a perfect read, jumped the route. I mean, that's just great defense all around. But yeah, the flea flicker, the bounced pass that, you know, that Matthew comes up with, you know, and even, you know, Wharton was, I'd say that's on the defense. I mean, two of those turnovers, I would say absolutely credit them to the defense. The other two were either just self-inflicted or conditions. I mean, those aren't ones that you can really count on, but you know, it's important that the Chiefs took advantage of the opportunities when they were there. But those other two were just absolute gift turnovers.
Yeah, the Melvin Gordon pitch back to Drew Lock looked like actually somebody was grabbing onto his leg as he tried to pitch it, and I think that really threw off his pitch. And then, you know, you look at the tip drill basically by Tyrann Mathieu. Thank you for the interception, but man, that looked a little weird for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it did. And you know what? The Chiefs had a couple of those where the ball has kind of bounced their way this season. And you know what? I mean, you know, good teams take advantage of that. But yeah, I'm not necessarily looking at this game from the turnover standpoint and saying it was, you know, fantastic job on the defense. I'm giving the defense credit for everything else because they did a good job of keeping Lock under pressure. They didn't really ever let him get comfortable. He had a few good throws because Drew Lock's going to be, can be a good quarterback. I mean, I think there's fundamentals there. It's just going to be if the Broncos can ever put a healthy offense around him and give him, you know, some experienced weapons. But you know what? Philip Lindsay, if he plays a full game, I don't think it's necessarily different because this game was already heading south in the first half anyway. But Philip Lindsay was eating the Chiefs alive. And, you know, Melvin Gordon had a decent game. But no, I mean, Philip Lindsay, I think, would have made this a different second half if he doesn't have the concussion.
Well, and how about Daniel Sorensen's game overall? I mean, I thought he was flying all over the place, and that he's the one that hit Lindsay out. And I'm not saying he tried to do it on purpose, but that was a hard hit regardless.
Yeah, Sorensen, I thought, had a really good game. Willie Gay seemed like he flashed a few moments here and there. I thought he had a good game. Anthony Hitchens had also a few really good hits in there. Traverse Ward, I mean, I think he had 9 total tackles. That's pretty solid. Like I said, I mean, overall, I mean, it was a pretty good day for the defense, especially against the pass. It was, and really, it's maybe just 8 or 9 plays when Philip Lindsay had the ball that didn't look very good.
And, you know, Philip Lindsay is that kind of scat back. He's done that to them before, as well as the rest of the league. So that's, again, part of the built-in thing. For me, it stood out that the rookies were contributing, like you mentioned. But also, I thought this was really the example of what the three safety system can do. You saw Juan Thornhill make open field tackles that saved huge plays. Obviously, the turnovers from the other two major safeties out there, Tedrick Thompson played late. This is one where they got the middle of the field covered, and even though there are some serious weapons that are developing on that Denver offense, I thought the middle of the field was protected, and they did a very good job deep in the middle.
Yeah, you know, some of it's exactly what we saw last year as far as the Chiefs getting into rotation with those three guys back there. But I think, you know, a big key to it is Juan Thornhill, like you've mentioned, because it's been a few weeks now since we've had a play where you look at Juan Thornhill and you say, you know what? You know, when he gets healthy, when he gets confident again, you know, you're going to see him make that play. I mean, he's been making those plays the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, I think you see that confidence with him building week by week, that he can go to that knee, that he can depend on it, that it's there, that he can make the plays. He seems like he's flying around. I mean, to the point where, you know, this might be the best I've seen a guy move at this point in a long time with an injury like that. I mean, usually, you know, you really have to almost get into year two. I see Thornhill really right now playing almost exactly where he was at the end of last season.
Yep. I think he's taking a big step forward. I do want to point out really quick, Kansas City wins this game by 27 points and they're favored by 21.5 against the Jets. I wonder if they are going to revise that and maybe get favored by a little bit more.
we'll see where the money goes. It's always what it is in Vegas. It's where the money goes. So I think you'd have to be crazy to bet on the Chiefs at this point. But I think what I read was that is the eighth biggest spread at this point. And all of the teams that were favored by more than the Chiefs won their games. But I think only one covered. So, yeah, I would not be betting the Chiefs to cover on this week.
But the Jets gave the Bills almost all they could handle, and it was an 8-point game. I mean, it was a 1-score game between the Jets and the Bills today. The Bills really did not look good in that game, so going to be interesting to see how that ends up. I fully expect Kansas City and Lev Bell to have a fun game plan for this week.
If the New York Jets lose to the Chiefs by 8 points, give Adam Gase an extension. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying. He deserves 5 more years.
Wow. Okay. You heard it here, folks. And it's the only place you're going to hear that. So enjoy that one. But you make a very good point that there is a lot to it. And I think the biggest thing for me when I look at this game overall is they got to the point, and maybe it's just because of the weather. That certainly is a big factor. But they got to the point where they could win without Patrick Mahomes. If they had put Chad Henne in there after the first quarter, really, they were going to be in solid enough shape because the rest of the team was pulling its oar. And I think that's the first time that we can truly say that there didn't have to be the drive from Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, even look at the second quarter, I guess it was, where the Chiefs just had, I think, 3 offensive plays until late in the second quarter, 2 offensive plays, and they had 2 touchdowns at that point. And it wasn't just simply that they were taking advantage of the turnovers and creating points. You know, sometimes when you're in that situation and you don't have the football, it's because the other team is moving it on you. And the reality of it was that the Broncos were moving the ball, but they weren't scoring. They weren't being productive with it. I mean, they held the ball for a long time, but it wasn't like they were racing up and down the field and doing anything. So, the Chiefs kept them in check.
When you get the pick six, and then when you get to a point where you run a return back, I mean, at that point, you know, you're sitting there and your offense isn't going to be on the field. So I was happy to see them go back in and be able to get points late, because I was a little worried about that when they weren't scoring in the third quarter and having to kick field goals.
Yeah, it would have been very easy to get into a situation in that second quarter where you're just exchanging touchdowns on the turnovers and the Broncos are coming down responding, and they didn't let that happen.
Yep.
I think it's nice, too, because whatever the hiccups were that we saw on the offense versus last week, clearly, I think the Jets game is another one where you can give Mitch Schwartz a chance to rest. It's the first game he's ever missed. He stayed home. I was pretty surprised by that, but I think clearly New York is another one that they can afford to do that and hopefully allow him to get right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely have to consider it. I mean, they've got a few guys that fit into that category. I see no reason to rush anybody back for the Jets. I mean, you can, if you lose the game, you can second guess it later. But no, I mean, at this point, I think you got to look at it as an opportunity that if guys are hurt, guys are banged up, don't push them in this game. I mean, you can live without Mitchell Schwartz. And I, for one, would like to continue to see him and Kelechi and Sammy Watkins continue tweeting, because it was a fantastic.
That was great.
It's eye opening. And, you know, people would not enjoy it as much, and they would not enjoy this show as much unless we gave out a game ball. So, Matt, I'm going to let you go first, because I know you got to run in a minute.
I've got to give my game balls. One of two guys I'm going to give it to, but you know what? I'm going to give it to Byron Pringle. 2 huge special teams plays, you know, downing the punt at the 1 and the touchdown 2. He deserves it. I mean, he came up with some big moments. So, hey, K-State, Wildcat, Ema, there's your guy. He gets my game ball.
Chris, you want to go last?
Sure.
Okay. Because people, grab your jaws. Make sure they're up at the top there.
Oh, God, I know where you're going.
I'm going to nominate Dan Sorensen for bringing the heat and making the plays. I'll tell you this. He played in the right positions. He played within the line of scrimmage in his zone. I thought it was great the way he was deployed this time. So congratulations, Dirty.
He would have been my other choice.
Man, I really don't even know how to respond to that, because Ryan saying Daniel Sorensen just doesn't make sense to me. I just can't simply fathom.
Pretty earth-shattering.
Yeah, it really is. You know, honestly, I think you look at this game, and I think I'm going to give my game ball to Tyreek Hill. And mainly because I think that his touchdown play really showed why you need to fear him in different ways other than just his speed. Him to be able to keep the balance and use his hands to stay upright, I think that was a great play, and I think it's going to be easily overlooked. It also kept Mahomes' touchdown streak alive to, 17 games now in a row? And I really would have hated to see him lose that on that play that Edwards-Helaire just dropped to pass right in his hands.
Yeah, so. That was a tough one. I think we're going to have to show that. Folks, let us know what you think. Who got your game ball? Matt, thanks for joining us today, as always.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
And thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this one. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.